When that worker appears again, he's pulling a hook along the trestle overhead and taking giant strides as he swings along it. He passes my bed and a furnace whooping somewhere suddenly lights his face up right over mine, a face handsome and brutal and waxy like a mask, wanting nothing. I've seen a million faces like it. He goes to the bed and with one hand grabs the old vegetable Blastic by the heel and lifts him straight up like Blastic don't weigh more than a few pounds. With the other hand, the worker drives the hook through the tendon back of the heel, and the old guy's hanging there upside down, his moldy face blown up big, scared, the eyes scummed with mute fear. He keeps flapping both arms and the free leg till his pajama top falls around his head. The worker grabs the top and bunches and twists it like a burlap sack and pulls the trolley clicking back over the trestle to the catwalk and looks up to where those two guys in white shirts are standing. One of the guys takes a scalpel from a holster at his belt. There's a chain welded to the scalpel. The guy lowers it to the worker, loops the other end of the chain around the railing so the worker can't run off with a weapon. The worker takes the scalpel and slices up the front of old Blastic with a clean swing, and the old man stops thrashing around. I expect to be sick, but there's no blood or innards falling out like I was looking to see. Just a shower of rust and ashes, and now and again a piece of wire or glass. Workers standing there to his knees in what looks like clinkers. A furnace got its mouth open somewhere, licks up somebody. I think about jumping up and running around and waking up McMurphy and Harding and as many of the guys as I can, but there wouldn't be any sense in it. If I shook somebody awake, he'd say, "Why, you crazy idiot, what the hell's eating you?" And then probably help one of the workers lift me onto one of those hooks himself, saying, "How about let's see what the insides of an Indian are like?" I hear the high, cold, whistling, wet breath of the fog machine. See the first wisps of it come seeping out from under McMurphy's bed. I hope he knows enough to hide in the fog. I hear a silly prattle reminds me of somebody familiar, and I roll enough to get a look down the other way. It's the hairless public relation with the bloated face that the patients are always arguing about why it's bloated. "I say he does," they'll argue. "Me, I'll say he doesn't. You ever hear of a guy really who wore one?" "Yeah, but you ever hear of a guy like him before?" The first patient shrugs and nods. "Interesting point." Now he's stripped except for a long undershirt with fancy monograms sewed red on front and back. And I see once and for all, the undershirt rides up his back some as he comes walking past, giving me a peek, that he definitely does wear one, laced so tight it might blow up any second. And dangling from the stays, he's got half a dozen withered objects tied by the hair like scalps.